Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Well, we've hit December, which for many is a joyous time, reflecting on the birth of the Saviour of the world. For many others, they'd cry, "If only I had time to reflect and the headspace." This can be a stressful period for lots of people, the period leading up to Christmas and the day itself. So we thought, if this is such a part of the human condition, as we say here on Open House, who better to navigate us through it all and leave us with some good practical tips, but Lynn Worsley, who sadly can't be with us in the studio tonight as she's been on a bit of a mercy mission. Lynn, good evening.
Hi, Lee.
You noble soul. Thank you so much for joining us, always. So how do you view or define what happens to us over this time, and especially why, Lynn?
Okay, look, there's a number of reasons why stress levels go up during Christmas time or coming up to Christmas. I think, there's a mentality that goes with the forced holiday for us. Shops seem to shut, or some of the shops shut, not all of them around me by the sound of it. And many businesses shut their doors for about a week. And that adds stress, and everyone seems to think that they have to finish everything before Christmas.
Yes.
When in actual fact, it's only 1 week away from work. A lot of people sort of wind things up. And also people take holidays over Christmas time and they extend their time and they want to spend with their family, and that, of course, adds stress.
Yep.
They've got to also negotiate stuff with their partners or with their friends or their relatives about where they want to go and who they want to go with, and that all just comes with a whole lot more stress as well.
It's also a time when families are thrown together, perhaps more than they've been throughout the year. And lots of expectations thrown in there too?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a season of traditions, and there's family rituals, and that's helpful for us to do. And it's really good to have rituals, but it adds to the stress because last year's problems are often unresolved. And so we've got to go and deal with the conflict again when last year's hasn't really sort of been fixed up for us. And,
yeah.
And the family really, sometimes we find out it isn't really as lovely as we thought. Or we might feel forgotten on the list, or might be felt put down. Oftentimes memories of Christmas long ago come back to haunt us. So, I think too, there's a lot of sensory awareness around Christmas time. So that evokes a lot of memories.
Okay.
And so people start to feel, almost like haunted by those memories. But there's an enormous amount of expectations around Christmas.
Yes.
Now, if you're seeing family or relatives you haven't seen for a long time, and, if you're in a situation where you're not feeling very happy about your life, you may not have the family that you want, and you might feel a sense of shame about your circumstances, or a sense of failure, and it makes us react in a way that amplifies the shame, and it sort of brings a sense of dread. And sometimes the emphasis on family connections adds to the stress for many people because they don't necessarily have family as their strength.
No.
And other factors in their lives might be their friends, their work, or their community, but family isn't that strong, and so they might feel isolated. Now, the other aspect of Christmas is that in Australia, it's the end of the school year, and that adds to the stress.
Yeah, I bet that's
being married to a teacher. The stress level increases.
All those ballet concerts.
Oh, yes. And the speech days.
Yes.
The new enrolments and the graduations. And then, the teachers doing timetables and class allocations and working out who's going to be in what year, what class next year, and who's going to have what students, and the parents all feeling worried about that. So that just adds to the stress and, it just keeps going.
Yeah. So how can we cope with some of these stressors, as they say? Help me!
But it's actually interesting. When I'm picking up the research from the positive psychology people, they're actually saying that Christmas stress is actually a symptom of a lot larger phenomena, and it's a reflection of our lives all year round. It actually is about the increasing work hours and our drive to be so busy, which means it's so hard to actually wind down.
Wow.
Now, some researchers at North Dakota State University suggested that living a life in the fast lane is actually preventing us from achieving true happiness and good Christmas period.
So you can't stop, kind of?
No, you can't stop. So let me ask, how busy are you on a scale of 1 to 10? One, you might feel calm and in control. You've got plenty of time and every day to put your feet up or twiddle your thumbs. 10, you feel tired, overstretched, your daily activities or appointments are starting to overlap and you couldn't get them all done. If you didn't multitask, grab lunch on the go and use your commuting time on both ends of the day to do your emails.
It only goes up to 10?
Yes. Now, you know, yeah. If you think about where you are on the scale, what was interesting, when they did this research in North Dakota, they found that 90% of the people said they were up or above every day, including the weekends.
Wow.
That's huge.
That's 8 or above?
8 or above.
Wow.
And I mean, I would put a bet on that, you know, majority of our listeners are on that top end of the 5.
Yes.
So, you know, what we've got is a really hectic combination of work commitments and social activities and family gatherings and shopping trips and gym running around and organising the kids. Mm. Someone called it running to stand still, which I thought was an interesting term.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, I think it's, you know, the thought of wondering, of stopping for a holiday actually makes us filled with stress and sort of we put that on top of everything else. And there's a sense of I'm too scared to let myself stop. So that's why we have trouble. We don't want to go back to work because we might find that everything's gone wrong while we've been off.
I know. So, so let's go into the work thing. Why do we work so hard in this day and age? Because it is such a dynamic of our life in 2011 heading into 2012. What's happening to make us like that?
Yes. Look, when I pick up the research from the people who study happiness, which we talked about earlier on in our season this year, that really what they're finding is that people are finding that they've got to cram as many experiences as they possibly can to achieve happiness. So if you've got half an hour to spare, you know, why not do this? Why not finish a report or make a few appointments or answer a couple of emails? But if you go on a holiday, you sort of organise a holiday and then you get a tourist guide around the city and see if you can visit every museum or gallery on the map. And, you know, there's this sort of lives full with activities just so you can sort of achieve everything in your bucket list. It's a really interesting time, and I think what's happening is that we're so focused on doing stuff that we've got little time to actually just focus on being or living honestly and courageously just in the moment. So if you've spotted the paradox, we keep busy because it leads to more experiences, and we think that having more experiences is equivalent to more chances of being happy, but actually, being busy reduces our chances of being happy because we reduce the amount of time we have to reflect.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a tough time.
Yeah, I can get that. In other words, in a way, if you say this is about authenticity, we're kind of living inauthentic lives, which actually prevent us from being happy and, for instance, in the context of Christmas, stop us enjoying Christmas.
Yes.
Okay.
Look, there's some really interesting research out there, and there was one piece of research that I picked up that actually looked at people's holiday letters.
Okay.
That those letters that everyone exchanges at Christmas time to sort of describe what's been going on in the last 12 months.
Yeah, they get long. They either get longer and longer, or you just don't get them because they're too stressed or busy to write. Yeah. So, what are we saying those? What are we saying?
Well, the researchers analysed the letters and they were looking for signs of authenticity.
Yep.
For instance, they were reflecting on, looking at how they reflected on important life events, such as births and marriages and deaths and so on. And they came up with three categories. They said the first one was the authentic, the second one was the inauthentic, and the third one was sort of like in between. Mm. Now, in the authentic letters, the letter writers sort of talk about what happened during the year and then they discuss the impact on their lives, like how it's changed them or how they might have grown personally from the experiences. The in-between letters, the letter writers sort of acknowledge that the events had meaning, but they don't elaborate on what the meaning was. But in the inauthentic letters, the letter writers just mention the different life events in a sort of a cursory way, for example, like a bit like a shopping list, without any details or explanations. But what was really interesting, when they collected the stats, they had 5% of the stats were authentic letters.
Wow.
And 83%, obviously there's a little bit of a disparity here, were inauthentic letters.
Wow. So the authentic letters were those who kind of reflected on themselves.
Yes.
And how they've learned from the events of the year. Dear, oh dear.
Only 5%.
Wow.
So it sort of, it looks like we're all a little bit distracted by the hectic details of daily life, that we sort of stop to show the awareness of being authentic in our lives. And it looks like we're beginning to fool ourselves into believing that we need to do and achieve as much as possible. And we forget that, you know, we need to actually stop and appreciate the really important things in life and perhaps even, you know, reflect on them.
Yes.
So, I mean, after I read the article, I was sort of wondering about a number of things. And the first one, I sort of wondered whether people just, you know, are living inauthentic lives based on the way they write their letters.
Or how much time they've got to write the stupid things in the first place.
Yes. Well, yeah, they don't particularly like to write letters. But the other one was that maybe that letters are sort of, there's an expectation that we've got to sort of send out light-hearted and optimistic letters.
Okay, yes.
But the last thing I thought of was that basically if people did reflect on your life-changing experiences in holiday letters, we might actually start a bit of a trend. We might actually get other people to start reflecting on the changes in their lives.
Kind of gives them permission to do it, I suppose.
Yeah. So that was my thought.
So what can we learn about how to prepare for Christmas, because it's any time from now on, that we may reduce our stress so, you know, we've got a better chance than maybe last year of having a happier Christmas, especially as we reflect on the bigger things of Christmas and basically the meaning of it?
Yeah. I actually, Winston Churchill made a quote. He says, you know, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And you know, I don't think he was talking about presents. I think he was rather talking about how we give of ourselves.
Yeah. So we make a living by what we get, but
we make a life by what we give.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think if we give of ourselves, our authenticity, in that, you know, the conversations that we can have with people over Christmas about reflecting on the year, that it sort of gives us a possible time to actually talk about what it is that matters in our lives and actually express that these are things that matter more than anything. It also starts to give us a bit of meaning to our relationships and how we might connect at Christmas time. Like, if we sort of start looking around our families, we can see there's a greater meaning in the relationships, not because of the presents or the cooking or the number of people that we're seeing, but usually because of the odd and the weird relatives that we've got and the strange neighbour in our unit block and the uncle that always sort of drinks too much at the Christmas party and the people who are actually family but aren't related. They're all the reasons for being here, for just connecting in meaningful ways and accepting each other and smiling at each other's differences and not reacting by feeling when we tell each other how busy we are.
So, as you've seen in my letter.
Yes. So, Lee, you're going to write a really good letter this year about what it has been like running Open House.
Yes, I know. It'll be quick. No, it'll be long. It'll be long and glorious. If I only get the time after next week, I will.
And so, about how you grow, change.
Yeah. So some of it involves biting our tongue, I suppose, maybe on the day. I sometimes think we often spend most of the year avoiding the people that we're thrown together with on Christmas Day.
Yes, I think so. I mean, we've been doing a bit of talk about dealing with difficult people. But, you know, I really felt, you know, when I was reading some of these articles, that, you know, just this whole fact that we've got to be so busy and doing that sometimes you stop and you see those difficult people and you just think, well, perhaps really lonely, or perhaps they're just trying to let everyone know how important they are, and it might be just time to let them feel that.
Yeah. And they're part of my life at the end of the day as well.
They are.
Lynn Worsley, you've got such wisdom as always. Thank you so much for joining us. Next week, Lynn's giving us plenty of time to think and plan ahead again, something to do for next year. how do we find a realistic New Year's resolution and stick to it? So I'll really look forward to that, Lynn. Travel safely.
Thank you.
All the best.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.